As Sabine noticed, I'm not Jennifer Sider. I'm Mark Chappell. Jen had to stay back, and we're having an internal review, important internal review, so she had to stay back and present actually the same data, which I'm going to present to you now. This is a pretty simplistic type of study where it shows a direct application of synchrotron technologies to resolve a fairly complex problem. In December of 2008, the Tennessee Valley Authority Kingston site experienced a dike failure. And so, roughly over 5 million cubic yards of this wet stacked fly ash pile fell into the Emory River and kind of the surrounding what's called the Swan Pond embayment areas, creating quite a bit of a catastrophe in terms of filling up the Emory River. Pretty much decimating all the life that it came in contact with in the river, and disrupting all the operations. And so this happened in December, and our task, we were called in about April, where TVA was considering cleanup options, and somebody had raised the question and had gotten congressional attention that the heavy metals contained within the fly ash, particularly the selenium, had such that it had transformed into a form of kind of secondary precipitate that if TVA went in and then dredged the system, pulled out all the ash, they would create in this highly turbulent, high oxidized process basically a plume of selenium that would leak down the Emory River and create irreversible destruction. So as an impediment to the dredge process, since this was considered an impediment, we were brought in to directly determine the chemical speciation of heavy metals and metalloids within the fly ash. And for this particular talk, I'm going to focus on selenium because we didn't have a lot of experience with selenium, and so this was kind of an interesting project. I've already described that. So finally, by June of 2009, roughly 6 months after the spill, we were able to get down and collect samples. We collected samples. This is the site of the spill here and where it fell into the Emory River. There's actually a convergence of three different rivers at this site, but for now we only focused on the Emory River. So we collected ash samples from the remaining fly ash storage pile, which is still in some places 60 feet high. And then we collected ash samples out of the Emory River, as well as ash samples out of the sluice channel and kind of the ash recovery area where they were already processing fly ash in the past, to see if truly the whole dredging process could induce some kind of speciation change within the metals, and particularly selenium. We also collected background soils and sediments at the site, areas that we knew were not affected by the spill. So what I'm going to really focus on is the synchrotron-related technologies and analytical work that we did. We did a lot of other different types of chemical experimentation to try to understand the ash. But in addition to some of the general wet chemistry, just trying to understand the ash and possible transformations given its long-term residence in the river, we also conducted some elutriate tests. These extended elutriate tests we created, where we intensively bubbled the system for 10 days and then looked to see if we can get some kind of a response in terms of changes in the species of selenium. So I'm just going to kind of fly through that part of the experiment, but I will show you some of that data as well. So we're really interested in the speciation of the selenium in the system and also how susceptible it may be to redox changes, perhaps from dredging and then bringing these things up to the surface after a prolonged period of time under fairly anaerobic conditions. Again, we're going to focus on using synchrotron techniques, particularly X-ray fluorescence mapping, to look at the distribution of selenium and then some bulk and micro Zanes analysis. Just so you know, keep in mind that selenium has a wide range of oxidation states. The most toxic is selenate, which is plus six. You have selenite, which is the other common inorganic form, which is less toxic. There's a plus two form, which is mostly associated with an organoselenium. This is relatively, it's very toxic in terms of a solution, a dissolved chemical, but in environmental systems, it's actually not very bioavailable at all and much less toxic. You have metallic selenium and then the kind of the selenide, the alkyl selenide type species. So you have a wide variety of species to choose from. The problem is that some of the energy separations in terms of the XAFs are very narrow for this kind of range of species, so it makes it a little difficult to pick them out. But we can pick out basically oxidized versus reduced species of selenium fairly readily. This is some of the totals of selenium, including arsenic and chromium. These are the three metals they were mostly concerned about. And in terms of selenium, you see that the levels are really very low, the low ppm levels. And there's not a lot of change between the different places where the ash ended up. So it kind of suggests to us that there's not a lot of movement of selenium or dissolution depending upon the state in which they were sitting in. However, the concentrations are low enough that we really can only collect Zane spectra. We can't get the full XAFs, but I'll talk about how we use the mapping to try to get around some of those limitations. This is the bulk XAFs data, and we're just looking basically at where the white line occurs. So we took the bulk, we took the data, and we looked at the source pile, and then we looked at compared it to the Zane's data for the sediments, and also or Zane's data for not the sediments but the ash in the Emory River, and then also in the ash recovery dish or the sluice channel where they were processing the ash. And we conducted a linear combination fit based upon standards that we had collected. What we see from the data, and it's kind of diagrammed over here, we see the source pile was fitted. The source pile was fitted as predominantly selenite, plus four. However, the data showed that after a prolonged time within the river, we did not have any oxidation at all. We actually had reduction of selenium. So we formed kind of these, what we fitted as organoselenium or a combination of selenium sulfides. The actual energy of separation between these two species, if I remember right, is about 0.3 EV. So it's a little hard to distinguish between the two of them, but this is how they came out. So essentially, they're probably a mixture of kind of the same. This down here is some of the data. And we see that when we get into the sluice channel, we don't see any difference. Basically, there's no change in the selenium speciation from the dredging process, which we suspected would happen, but we needed to verify that. This is some of the alutriate data that I talked about a few moments ago, trying to understand or see if we can push the redox so that we can get a change in the selenium. And the data fits very similar to what we saw from the Emory River and the sluice channel ash, virtually no change in species at all. So we see, first of all, that it's from its prolonged time in the river, it actually forms a more reduced selenium species that are even less bioavailable than the more oxidized, and that the redox chemistry is pretty stable, that it's pretty hard to push these sediments and this ash material to get it to oxidize and to create dissolution problems. Now, given that these were very dilute concentrations of selenium, we did some XRF mapping. The idea here being that if we can see co-locations between selenium and other heavy metal domains, maybe like iron and manganese, maybe we get some we can infer the kind of complexation that would exist within the material. So for example, we see overlapping domains of selenium and iron, then perhaps we can infer that the selenium species are complex with the iron oxide and maybe manganese oxide phases. So this is an example of the fly ash taken directly from the Emory River. And it turns out the selenium map is pretty light here. But if you take a look at it, you can see some fine details that are copied in the iron and the manganese oxide. So at least we have some evidence to show there is co-location between the iron and manganese oxides for the selenium materials. I'll come back to that. This is actually the position correlations taken from the map. Here we have iron counts on the y-axis and selenium counts on the x-axis. The data is pretty messy, but there is a little bit of a trend, not a clean linear trend, but there is a trend toward iron oxide co-locations, iron and manganese, which I didn't put up here, and selenium. So it kind of suggests that even though we can't really see the complexation, it gives us an idea that maybe what we have is a combination of precipitates and then some iron and manganese oxide associated phases. In terms of the micro zanes, we see kind of a combination of when we get down to the microscopic level, there's a lot of heterogeneity. So we see kind of the representation of that heterogeneity. For example, this is from the source pile. We see both, even though the source pile, the bulk both Zanes showed predominantly a selenite species, we see in one spot, we do see that selenite, but in another spot, we see more of the reduced selenium species. And that's because the ash, the original ash contains, if I remember right, around 5 to 10% organic carbon. Mostly it's pyrolyzed carbon. So perhaps that's partially explaining that complex. And when we turn to, I'm not going to show them, but when we show the micro zanes for the Emory River and also the zanes for the sluice channel and their ash recovery ditches, we basically had this same distribution ranging between selenite and selenate, or I'm sorry, selenate and then reduced forms of selenium. So we really never got a hit on oxidized selenium. And even the alutrius systems, when we did the micro mapping for the alutrius systems, we really didn't get any hits either. So the conclusions from this work were pretty straightforward, that predominantly the ash was, the selenium in the ash was in the selenite form predominantly before the spill. When it fell into the river and resided there for an extended period of time, it mostly reduced to either some kind of selenium sulfide or organic selenium species, possibly metallic selenium, and therefore it's expected to be not very bioavailable at all. Actually, putting it in the river actually stabilized the selenium quite a bit. And so this kind of opened the way and allowed for TVA to commence full operation dredging, which they have pretty much completed now at this point. Just to thank the other different members of the team in ERDC, and also the funding was provided through the Tennessee Department of Environment and Conservation. Thank you.